Will you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 17? 1 Corinthians 11, 17, that's better. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 17, just a brief observation here. I'll let you just get there and look at this portion of Scripture with me. Because when we read this portion of Scripture, it's astounding. In fact, it's amazing that such a thing could be written about a church that was known to have the nine gifts. The church at Corinth was a blessed church. It was a Pentecostal church. It was a church where God evidently was doing mighty things, and yet it had pretty mighty problems. And it had mighty sins there too. But when we come to this passage, we find out that when it came to communion, they weren't coming together for good, but for worse. Now that's unimaginable. That you could come to communion, and the Apostle Paul told them, he said, it's not for the better, but when you come, it's for the worse. He said, you're not bringing down a blessing, you're bringing the condemnation of God upon you. Isn't that something? That's shocking to say and shocking to see. He says it there. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for worse. First of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. He said, don't call that the Lord's Supper. Skip over with me to verses 28 and 30, because it's connected. He says this, because they weren't doing the right thing. He says in 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Not discerning the Lord's body. Did you get that? He said, you're coming together, not for better, for worse. Why? Because when you come together, you're not discerning the Lord's body. You're not realizing that we're connected. That every one of us is a member, one of another. From the one you think maybe is a nut job, to the person you think is most holy. We're connected. And when we come to this table, we're on the same plane, standing before the cross. And he said to them, you're not discerning the Lord's body. You're taking communion. In this case, they were just having a love feast, supper. And he said, and earlier it mentions that, you know, some of you were bringing your own food and eating it up while the poor didn't have anything, and you weren't. Well, there were three things there, he mentions. He said there were divisions, there were factions, and selfishness. All at the communion. I can't get away from that. Because in verse 30 it says, for this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Well, of course he means death. And then he goes on in 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Wow. It speaks to us tonight that the most important thing for us to do before coming to these emblems tonight, what this table represents, is to make sure that we fully discern that we are the body of Christ. And that implies that I respect every member of the body. That I have a love for each member of the body. I have an understanding. And that's easier said than done. We all have our idiosyncrasies. We all have our opinions. We all have our way of doing things. And it's so easy to migrate to those who think like you. But in the Word of God, Christ doesn't make allowance for that. In the Word of God, he says, this is communion, that just as Christ, without partiality, gave his life for every one of us, then we ought to hold out our hands to each other. And that's how we honor this table tonight. And I may be wrong about this, but I believe in Christ's eyes, it's greater than your humility in saying, I need, Lord, you to forgive me and wash me. Of course, that's necessary. But maybe tonight you need to say, Lord, I thank you for the love that runs vertically, but I need horizontal love. Jesus picked 12 men. 12 men. And in the power of his love, he bled them together, which is incredible. One was a zealot and one was a tax collector, right? The truth is, if that were today and you were leading them, you turned around, Matthew would have a knife in his back, right? Jesus caused them to love one another. So I want to admonish us, before we come to communion, is there anyone in this room that maybe you don't love? That's silly for me to say, I know. But is there anyone in this room or anyone of you among the counselors that maybe have a feeling towards a brother or a high opinion about some? I'm going to ask you tonight to get rid of it. I'm going to ask you tonight to say, you know what, Lord, I repent of that. I still think it's true. You have to be honest with God. I still think it's true, Lord. But I tell you what, Jesus, bring every thought into captivity. And I'm not going to raise my thought over that brother. Will you do that, brethren, tonight? Will you do that in the cottage, counselors, ladies? Work together and say, you know, if anything happens this 2 weeks, they're going to see that we love each other because of Jesus Christ. It has to happen. And then to our guests tonight, we can honor our Lord, honor his sacrifice by allowing him to wash us and cleanse us tonight, but also by having a love and recognizing that from all the way back there to all the way over there, this room is filled with my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, who purchased us, redeemed us. It's the only worthy way to bring, the only worthy way to have this table tonight. Let's bow our heads. Oh God. Oh Lord. Let's just take a few minutes and let the Holy Spirit just get close to us. It's not about how we feel, but it's listening to his voice. And maybe tonight you have to say, Lord, forgive me because I need to love better. I need to love better. We have a faith that works by love. Help me. Lord, help me. Maybe you need to say, Father, forgive me because I think I'm so smart sometimes and I put down some folks, and I'm sorry tonight. It's wrong. It's wrong. Maybe you need to ask the Holy Spirit tonight, Lord, despite my nature, make me an encourager. Make me a Barnabas. Help me believe in my brethren and my sisters. Oh God, do that for us. We're humbling ourselves tonight, Lord. We're going to come to this table worthy. We're going to come to this table having examined ourselves and having judged ourselves. I want to begin with me as the pastor. Father, I ask your forgiveness. I ask you with all my heart to receive me as I am and make me what I ought to be. Help me to love as you love. Help me to be mindful of my words and always lift up the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, dear Jesus. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, as we humble ourselves, as we examine ourselves, as we ask your grace and your forgiveness on anything that we would hold against anyone, we do ask your grace to change us. Thank you that you've made a way for us to come as we are, but thank you we don't have to leave as we are. That we can love greater. And we know, Lord, you're going to shed your love over these 2 weeks in a way we've never heard before. We believe it. We ask, God, that there will be such a love in the cottage that those dear children will discover what we've discovered. We trust you to do it. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We pray every staff member will serve each guest and each other staff member with love. We believe you to do it, Lord. We pray, God, that every guest who comes on the grounds these weeks will feel the love of God because of this night. Because, Lord, we've come honestly before your table and received of you. We discern the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus.